This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoen.
Can you think of something, dear friends, that is irreversible once it happens? Irreversible means you just cannot change it anymore once a course of action takes place. Something quite irreversible, just to give an example, would be what is known as bungee jumping. I have never done it, but I can imagine a person way up high on a platform who is planning to do it. As long as you are on the platform, even when you are getting buckled up and being given last-minute instructions, you still can get out of it. You still can change your mind before the big leap off the platform, and I doubt not some do change their mind. For once you make that leap off the platform, you can't reverse things anymore. Then you are going down in a rush and a plunge that you can't change, and you trust that bungee cord to hold and to do its thing. When something is irreversible, you think about it lots beforehand. If it is in your hands to decide to do that something irreversible or not. Accidents and even sometimes disease can start something irreversible, which comes at us as a surprise, most unpleasant and sometimes fatal. Death, from our perspective, is surely something irreversible apart from God's intervention. When I looked up the word irreversible in the dictionary, I couldn't help but notice other words that are similar, like irrecoverable, irresolvable, and irreparable. Well, why mention this all? As we continue our series on the last book of the Bible, coming now to Revelation 18, we are told about God's final judgment on this ungodly world. And what so stands out is how this chapter emphasizes how irreversible the last judgment will be. Yes, how irrecoverable and irreparable and irresolvable and irredeemable will this fallen world be when God's final judgment comes. Revelation 16, 17, and 18 are telling us in repeated fashion from different angles and in various ways this world, apart from God, is heading towards destruction, irreversible, and unquestionably, and most certainly so. And who knows how soon now? In the times we live in now, also this scripture passage of this and next week's radio broadcast seems very relevant indeed. In looking closer at Revelation 18, drawing also from various commentators on the text, I thought let us divide the chapter, noticing the four voices speaking about God's final irreversible judgment as we find it in this chapter. We will listen to the warning of God's final irreversible final judgment to come as it is expressed in the voice of condemnation, verses 1 to 3, the voice for separation, verses 4 to 8, and then the voice of lamentation, verses 9 to 19, followed by the voice of celebration, verses 20 to 24. Studying these four voices, sounding the warning of God's irreversible final judgment, should make God's only gospel message sound so loud and clear and inviting indeed. So, dear friends, notice in verse 1 to 3, we have what you might call, first of all, the voice of condemnation, telling of God's final irreversible judgment on this ungodly world. That voice is sounded with great authority, for we are told, notice, John sees an angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and coming down in divine light and splendor, and crying out mightily with a loud voice. The voice is not sounding in a whisper from some hidden corner somewhere, but it is loud and clear and impressively authoritative in what it says. This impressive-looking angel, having great power, he cried mightily and with a strong voice, the text says. And what is it the angel says? What is the voice of condemnation stating? Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 2. What a gruesome, eerie picture is here given and foretold us, dear friends. The great cities of mankind will become ghost towns and places where the vultures and ugly flesh-eating birds will feast on whatever remains may be left behind. Babylon is symbolic of sinful mankind, living defiantly and carelessly in the way of sin and self. with God stating not just once but twice here how the day is coming when Babylon, this ungodly world, will be fallen irreversibly, the Lord thereby is surely saying that we should take notice and be warned and forewarned. The last judgment day is coming. We can be absolutely sure of that. Verse 2 gives a prophetic picture and warning, as one said, of absolute desolation, where the proud achievements of sinful, godless, unrepentant mankind become the demonic haunts of unclean and horrible creatures. In verse 3, we are told the reasons for this irreversible, sure downfall of Babylon, that is, this whole ungodly world. It is on account of all the wickedness and ongoing evil and rebellion in lustful, sinful living, despising God and His rule and His word and His people. The irresponsible, excessive luxury and thoughtless, wicked self-indulgence and brash arrogance of the godless and the sinful, lustful, lawless, idolatrous ways of the world will meet its just reward from God, the Holy One, the Just One. This is what the voice of condemnation from God in verses 1 to 3 openly states. No one can miss the message of the first three verses and the voice of condemnation on this ungodly world that it brings. Are you, dear friend, listening to this voice of condemnation and believing it and taking it to heart? How this coming of irreversible final judgment should so make us all be a people who set not their affections on things of this world, and who have their treasure with God in Christ Jesus, rather than building our lives on something of this world or of self. Even just reflecting on the economic meltdown and turmoil worldwide in this past year, who won't realize clearly you need more than money stocks and earthly investments for true security for body and soul? As Christians, we may know this, and we need to let this be known, to be rich with God in and through Jesus Christ. Indeed, more than anything else, this is all important, the all important matter. When this final judgment from God comes with such irreversible reality on this wicked world, then it will be plain to all to build your life on the sand of self, and this world and its pleasures and treasures is something hopeless. But to build on the rock of Jesus Christ brings truly eternal security and blessing for body and soul, for now and forevermore. Are you, dear friends, listening to the voice of condemnation on this world so clearly stated in our text? What marks God's people is that then you are, by the grace of God, listening and taking note of what God's word here teaches us. Yes, also with Revelation 18. And it will show in how you live in this world and what your priorities are. This also brings us to the second voice in our chapter, which so emphasizes the irreversible final judgment to fall on this world. It is the voice of separation, you might say, as sounded in verses 4 to 8. John hears another voice from heaven, again sent from God, and it is directed to God's people, to His church. And what is that voice saying? Come out of her, meaning out of Babylon. Come out, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. God calls here His church to be in the world, but not of it, to live as a holy people in this godless world, pilgrims and strangers in this world, living not as the world, but living for God and good to His praise. If you read Jeremiah 51, or if you would read it, as recommended last week, you will know in that chapter forecasting the downfall of the Babylon of the Old Testament, three times there too the prophet urges God's people to separate themselves from evil Babylon. Chapter 51 of Jeremiah, verse 6, 9, and 45. Two specific reasons are given for the voice of separation in our text. One is that if we will not be separate from the world, we most likely will become defiled by the world and snared in the sins and pleasures and ways of the world. Who would not realize this? Who will deny this, that if you will be with the world, you will be polluted by the world? And the second reason God calls for his people to be separate from the world is that we might not be subject to her plagues and to her just and awful punishments, even to her irreversible just judgment and eternal destruction from God. Just like God also told the believing Israelites to depart from the tents of wicked, rebellious Dathan, Korah, and Abiram before he consumed them in his wrath, so God speaks here to his church in all ages in Revelation 18. The call to separation is what identifies God's true people throughout the ages. Failure to be separate from the world leads to compromise with the world and defilement from the world, and all who will be just like the world will indeed perish with the world. The word saint, the most common New Testament term for a Christian believer, speaks of being one set apart by God, set apart to God for a holy purpose and for a holy living. Again here, John's words in 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17 are so in order. He writes there in special and urgent admonition to God's people, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." God's true people will confess the call to be separate from the world is a repeatedly needed call, especially also in a time of relative freedom and prosperity. In verses 5 to 8, God describes why his final irreversible judgment is coming on this world. It is for this world's ongoing sin and rebellion against him, and especially also the world's defiant pride and arrogant independent spirit before God. "For she saith in her heart," God tells us in verse 7, "I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." But God will visit this world, bringing on it his just judgment in an exact way fitting all the evil against God and others. God will not act in divine revenge, but divine justice to the last detail, as we read in verse 8, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her." Do you see with me how this voice of separation, as well as the voice of condemnation earlier, together surely reinforce the fact of final, divine, irreversible judgment coming? How we need to pay attention to this solemn, certain reality. Are you paying attention, dear friend? Is the fact of Christ's return and the destruction of this world and the last judgment before God something you take seriously? We need to listen yet to the voice of lamentation and celebration in connection with God's irreversible judgment on this wicked world. But we will come to that next time, Lord willing. For now, let me end with the Apostle Peter's solemn words and urgent exhortation in 2 Peter 3, verse 10 and following. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Oh, may such be the Holy Spirit worked fruit, even of this message, for us each and all. The rest of the chapter, as we hope to consider the next time, only underscores the great urgency of this matter, speaking of God's irreversible judgment. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.